You see, I don't think people who even been Christians a very long time can understand how far God will, oh my gosh, I get so emotional about this, go to show you how much he loves you. Okay, getting together. Christy, obviously, what a horrific thing. I can't even imagine it. And so, for many years, the word daddy brought horrific feelings. And so we're preaching about Daddy God, and to someone who's been abused, that brings up such horror. And we were dating, and I know, sounds a weird story, but I remember this one time, and it's like the Lord got on my case, as if, and the only way I could describe it was like, hey, I'm a dad who has daughters, and any guy who wants to date my daughters, hang on, I'm going to just go clean my shotgun. You know what I'm talking about? The whole thing, like, okay, Sonny Jim, just remember whose daughter you're dating. You look after her, because remember, she's my daughter. And I'm thinking, what is this? And Chrissy and I had arranged to meet, and I'm at a place, and I'm sharing this. And she's like, she could tell, like, what's up with you, man? Like, you look a little off. Like, what's going on? It's like, I just had the weirdest experience with God. And I began to share with her. The only way I could explain it, it's like God was saying, this is my daughter. You look after her. And she started to cry because she'd prayed, God, I want you to be my dad. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants to show you. He loves you. And you know what? Christy may have come from a horrific upbringing, but you know, I come from a nice family. You know, I was loved. I was like the center of my mum's universe. My mum used to walk behind me with a broom. You know, I remember when I finished uni, and I lived with a mate, and he went to my mother and said, "You ruined him." You could play like the sport. Like, I'm not Italian, but like far out, you know, you hear about the Italian mamas who, well, may as well have been. Or they talk about the Jewish mums, where Mary was no different to any other Jewish mum because they all think their son is God. She was just the only one that was right, you know. So that was my upbringing. And so, you know, I was deeply loved by my parents and deeply you know, the center of their world. Like, I'd come home from uni and I would just drop. I was a horror. I'd drop all my dirty clothes and go, see you out, and go hang out with my mates. And I'd come back and they were washed and folded. And it was just, you know, so I didn't have that. But I remember when I first got saved, I was just as far away from God as she was. The Bible says he came and preached to those that are far off and those that are far and near. I was just in a desperate situation. My life was just as doomed as hers. We all need Jesus. There's a movement of the devil at the moment to try and tell people that they don't need to get saved. That God's just all love and happiness and, you know, we're all going to heaven. It doesn't really matter. No, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. People out there need Jesus. We just had one of our greatest generals go home to be with the Lord, Billy Graham, and he used to say there's a God-shaped hole in every man or woman's heart that can only be filled by God. And I want to say to you this morning, if you know Jesus, fantastic. But if you don't, you need to know Jesus. But I came to the Lord and I just knew I was separate from God. But, you know, I come from a loving family. And you know, I was a bit of a lad, but I wasn't out like doing drug deals or shooting people or something. But I was just as separate from God as Christy's horrific upbringing. And I got saved. And it's amazing. The first thing that I knew was like, Jesus loves me. And you know what? Yeah, okay, I mightn't have been this gangster, but, you know, I had sin in my life. You know, I was a teenage boy. And like most teenage boys, I wish there were like 9 commandments and not 10. I won't tell you which one I wished wasn't in there, but you get the idea. But just because this one revelation, Jesus loved me, sin just fell off my life. I knew nothing. I've shared this in this church before, but I thought speaking in tongues was everybody spoke Hebrew. I thought, what a smart group of people. Everybody here speaks Hebrew. That's incredible. I knew nothing. Nothing. I thought prophecy was like, it was nearly like, you know, there was a number on your seat and everybody, you know, you get a turn and you got to get up and say, and I was petrified because what happens when it's my turn? I knew nothing. Knew nothing. But I knew that Jesus loved me. And everything changed. But you know what? After a while, I began to try and earn God's love. I thank God I found out that, you know, speaking in tongues wasn't everybody speaking Hebrew, that it was a gift of the Holy Spirit, and prophecy wasn't like a number on your seat and you had to say something. It was a gift of the Spirit, and, you know, I began to understand some things in the Word, and I thank God for that. But after a while, instead of just accepting God's blessing because of Jesus, all of a sudden now I tried to earn it. Now, all of a sudden now, I was playing in the worship team. I was a youth leader. I was a youth pastor. I was ministering, and God's power was reaching other people, but all of a sudden the sin started to creep back into my life. And the habits that had just fallen off my life, like with no issue whatsoever, every second word I used to say when I was blankety blank, 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 you know, take the swear words out, and it was like I was mute. It's like I couldn't, and, you know, people didn't have to say stop swearing, it just stopped. I'm going to be really open and honest and transparent before you today. I was a youth, you know, I smoked before I was a Christian. I got saved and it just stopped. But all of a sudden I'm sneaking a cigarette and I couldn't stop. All of a sudden there's profanity coming back into my vocabulary. I'm a youth pastor. I'm a worship leader. Because all of a sudden I was trying to earn God's grace. Paul says, you who started, did you start by grace or by works? I forgot that simple fact. My whole ability to accept God's goodness is because of Him and Him alone and His grace. And God just put me back on a journey. And, you know, I became so puffed up in not the knowledge of the Word of God and how much I prayed. You know, sometimes I was praying up to 3 hours a day. But I was doing it to earn God's love. Something changes when you understand you're the loved of God. Do you remember the Apostle John? What do you... I could do a poll here. What do you... What is the Apostle John described as? The Apostle of... Right, okay. You know what his first recognition in the Bible is? One of the sons of thunder. This guy starts his ministry with Jesus. They go to a church, they go to a city to preach, and they are rejected. And they walk out of it, and John and his brother go, God, should we call down fire from heaven to destroy these people? Imagine that. That'd be like going up witnessing to someone. Do you want to accept Jesus? No, I don't think so. Okay, God, kill him. Now, if you did that, I'm sure Pastor Ray would say, come on, I think we need to have a bit of a chat. I think, you know, really, seriously, that's not quite right. You know, and so, but what changed? Here's a guy who, like, hey, you accept me or I want you dead. To the apostle of love. The, you know, the Bible even says, not the Bible, church historians often talk about there was this final historical account of John and him ministering to the church. And this man had walked with Jesus and he'd been in ministry a long time, and he's a very old man, and he's greeted by the church, and he gets up, and he shares, brethren, love one another. And he sat down. And they said, John, you walk with Jesus. You've had all these. You've moved in the miraculous power of God. You've moved in miracles. You've seen the power of God move. Surely there's something more that you can share with us than that. And apparently, the record I read said he said, "If you understand that, everything else happens." And we know from the scripture, the Bible says we can love because we understand he first loved us. In fact, even if you go to that scripture into the original, it's actually more accurately translated, we love because he first loved us. Our whole ability to express the agape love of God is purely as a revelation of our spirit and a response of our heart to the fact that Jesus loves you. And you look in the Bible, you look in the book of John, and he constantly was saying, the apostle who John loved, the disciple who Jesus loves. Doesn't he? The apostle, the disciple who Jesus loves. Again and again, the disciple who Jesus loves. And I used to think the guy's just got a bit of an ego problem. But he just personalized the fact. He wasn't saying he was loved more than anybody else. He was just understanding, you love me. You realize when that happened, the blessings started to flow again. I got up and in my time with the Lord this morning, and just these few things came up. I think this is a word for someone. Turn to Acts chapter 16. This is a combination of a little bit. It's more a testimonial sort of service, but God knows what he is doing. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 is a scripture. You're a worshiping church. Many of you will know it. Paul and Silas had been arrested for preaching the gospel. Imagine that. You're serving God. And things go wrong. And you know, the sad thing is that most people, as soon as something goes wrong, their instant default is, I did this to deserve this to happen. If I'd only prayed more. If I only hadn't done this. Now, I believe we're smart enough and mature enough to know, yes, look, sin has consequences. If you think I'm doing, do whatever you want. You know, come on. Sin is its own punishment. But our natural default sadly tends to go to, I deserve this. I didn't do enough. If only. Sadly, I believe sometimes it's more the sins of omission. If only I'd spent more time doing this instead of that. If only I hadn't let myself get distracted. And so here these guys are, they're serving God and they're in jail. And this is the scripture. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And I preach that scripture many, many times because we know the power of praise and how it shakes the heavenlies and changes the atmosphere and all of that. But something in me, I can't help it. I've got, even though I'm a creative, I do also have a bit of an analytical mind. My secular career was a pharmacist. And so I couldn't help it. I'm thinking, singing hymns, what was the song? Come on. We guys, how many of us, we have a discussion, you know, your wife's talking to you and your brain goes into fix-it mode. This is your good time. Women, you had an incredible chance to go, amen. My goodness, amen. We're wired that way. So my brain instantly thinks, what was the song? Is there a specific song that you sing when you're in jail? Is there a specific song you sing when you're in debt? Is there a specific song you sing? And I'm thinking, what is it? And, you know, the old King James talks about singing praise. And then I can't even stop with that. I'm thinking, okay, praise, what sort of praise? My goodness, I preached praise in Bible school. There's like there's about 50 words for praise. What, you know, I'm trying to, what is it? And I just had this thought, go and get the original Greek word, you know, the little symbols. You know, isn't it funny, you know, we get so spiritual about Greek, but the New Testament is written. I heard someone say, you know, if you're starting a church, just say any Greek word and fellowship. It sounds spiritual. Anyway, so I take the Greek word with the little symbols, mean nothing to me, and I copy them, and I paste them into just a Greek to English dictionary. And you know what it just came up as? I remember. And I thought, it's what changed my life when I was overwhelmed and had no way out, that I was sat there, I remember how much you love me. I remember how much you paid the price so that I could stand before you without any guilt, without any shame. I remember that you are good and that your heart for me is nothing but blessings and a future and love. And I believe they sat and they were singing in their darkest time, where, you know, most of us turn into country singers, you know, you pick the fine time to leave me, Lucille. You know, that in their dark time, instead of thinking about the bad stuff, or even, and this is a word for someone, the regrets, focusing on the things you should have done. And, you know, maybe you should have done them. Or the things you didn't do that you should have done. And maybe you should have. But instead of it, in that prison, whether it's a prison of lack or a prison of problems with your relationships, or whether it's a prison of bad health, you remember the goodness of God. And you sing praises, remembering, Father, I remember you are good and your mercy endures forever. I thank you, God, that you will never give up on me. That no matter what I've done, you love me. I remember. That changes everything. That changes everything. And just as I was thinking that this morning, I just felt, you know, we are, a lot of us who've been Christians a long time are mature enough to know that sometimes in life just stuff happens. Some horrible stuff happens. And, you know, I remember when I first heard the faith message, I thought, man, I'll say one offering, pray one prayer, and my house will be paid off. Praise God. And then when it didn't happen, I thought something was wrong with me. But I feel like the Lord's wanting you to focus on, change your focus a little bit today. There's some of you that have been believing for things. And I even believe this morning, some of you have said, what's wrong with me? And I just feel the Lord wants you to change that focus this morning. And so as I began to meditate on this, Paul and Silas saying, I remember, I just jotted these things down, and this was just this morning, just while I was praying. Number one thing you got to remember, God is good. And nothing else. If you're standing in a battle and you have a bit of a question in your mind, is God good? It doesn't matter how much scripture you stand on, you're standing on shaky ground. God is good. Isn't the thing when the praises went out before the army with Jehoshaphat in that impossible situation, what did they sing? For he is good and his mercy endures forever. I believe that Paul and Silas were there remembering, God, you are good. Even though everything in their situation could have said otherwise. Second thing I wrote down this morning was, you know what? God is not your problem. It's sad, but so, you know, when I was in, there are some churches that will preach that God will do bad things to you to teach you something. You know, it's like we'd pray for people for healing, but some of them thought, well, maybe God's letting you do this to learn something. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 13 to 17, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full blown, gives birth to death. Listen to this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not have to think, shall I heal this one? Don't know. He doesn't change. He's not your problem this morning. But you don't know what I've done. Yeah, but I know what Jesus did on the cross. Start to focus on that. Remember, God is not your problem. Thirdly, we don't fight people. Paul and Silas could have got there and been so bitter at the people that had arrested them. Be thinking, we were just trying to help you. We just wanted to see you have the blessing that we've got. We wanted to see you heal. We wanted to see, and we can become so bitter at people because, yes, sometimes the devil uses people to hurt people. But the sad thing is, sometimes it's hurt people that hurt people. And if you're facing a battle, sometimes you can be facing a battle and that battle seems to be coming through a person. That person is not the person you're fighting. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 6 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing everything into the captivity to the obedience of Christ, which is ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And as I was reading this morning, I did my same little thing with the word arguments. And I preach and I agree with this. I don't believe, because I believe there's many levels of revelation. Okay? That, you know, arguments are just things that I go against the word of God. Like if you're standing for healing, your brain will argue, but you're sick. But we cast down because the word of God says, no, 2,000 years ago, by his stripes I was healed. That you know, if you're in lack, that the Bible says no. The argument in my head is that he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory, and he wants me blessed. But I looked into that word arguments, and a direct translation from the Greek is calculations. Sometimes we had to cast down the why did this happen. Why God? I've seen people in bondage for years. God, why? Sometimes we just got to cast down the wall. You know what? Sometimes we just got to draw a line in the sand and say, yesterday is gone. As Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, but looking forward, God is saying, forget about what happened yesterday. You know, you can learn from your mistakes, but they don't define who you are. You are a blessed child of God. Stop trying to work it all out sometimes and just press into the Lord. Sometimes we have to cast down the why, God. You know what? There's some things that I don't understand. I was so touched and moved. You know, have you heard that song? It's a beautiful song by Jesus Culture. It goes, I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The man who wrote that had just lost his baby. And I remember reading the article and he said, I don't understand. But he says, I made a decision to not try and work it out, to just stand on the fact that I know that my God is good. He's still a God that heals. Go and Google those lyrics. They're the most amazing lyricals. It talks about the healing power and the blessing. And I think this came from out of a man. He had a decision to make in the darkest, most hurtful time of his life. Do I just get caught in the why, God, or do I focus on the fact that you are good, Lord? And I just make a decision to focus on. You know, that song has gone around the world and ministered to millions of people. Fourth thing I said is, God is not judging you. All your sin was judged on the cross. You're right, it's one thing. Faith actually shows itself when we're in our darkest. Do you know, it's very, people are, yes, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, that's very easy to say when you've just been to church and you've just paid your tithe and you've just maybe blessed someone and or something like that. But what happens when you've made a mistake? That's the time the most that we need to say, Father, you know, yes, I'm sorry, but you took my sin on the tree so that I could get your righteousness. You made a decision forever that I would be accepted in the beloved, and I can come boldly to the throne room of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help me in my time of need. That even in the biggest mistake of your life, that you can thank God that He is not judging you. The Bible says He judges the world because of sin, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. He wants you to rise up on the inside and understand, I am loved of God. I am blessed of God. I am the favored of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the same right and ability to accept all the promises of God as anybody else, because the promise is yes and amen in Christ. And you know what? When that's the most important, when you feel the weakest. How many times do you think Paul, when he was ministering, the devil reminded him of the stoning of Stephen? He had been involved in the murder of Christians. Yet he could write, I have wronged no man. Because he understood the power of the blood of Jesus. And this is where coming down, which I believe was totally by the Holy Ghost today, Christy sharing about the love of God and how loved you are. And even me sharing a few things about how when I forgot and focusing on the love of God and was focusing on my wonderful Christianity and my wonderful prayer life and my wonderful reading of the Word of God and my wonderful revelation, how sin came back rolling in. That God is willing to turn your situation around. You have to remove every question in your mind. I love the humanity of how Jesus understands our heart. When he healed the leper, the first thing the leper says is, if you're willing, you can heal me. How that is a cry across the church. People know that God heals. People know that God's miracle does miracles. Yet he still lovingly, what's the first thing he does? It says he touches him. It says, I'm willing. That man, there's no record how long he'd been a leper. But I can guarantee you he had not been touched. He had not felt human touch. Maybe in decades. And yet the first thing Jesus does is touching him. And touch is one of the most powerful expressions of acceptance. Psychologists will tell you that secular psychologists about how important it is to hug your kids, to touch. Secular marriage counselors will tell you how important it is to express love with touch. Touch is one of the most powerful expressions of acceptance. The first thing Jesus does is touches him. I'm willing. This morning the Lord is saying to someone, maybe all of us, I'm willing. But God, you don't know what I've done. But I know what Jesus has done for you. And finally, the last thing I just went is, God has nothing but blessings in his heart for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of blessing, not of cursing, for a future and a hope. Can we just close our eyes just for a few moments? It's sad, but sometimes just in a broken world, bad stuff can happen to good people. But I honestly believe this morning that people here, your breakthrough will come if you can just take the simple revelation home, I am loved. Now, I don't know everybody here. You know, I started off by sharing, saying everybody needs Jesus, and I say that absolutely unashamedly. It is not politically correct, but it is truth. The Bible says there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. And he stands at the door of your heart today and knocks. You might think, oh, my life's okay. My life wasn't in as much trouble as Christie's was. You need Jesus just as much as she needed Jesus. If you don't have the assurance in your heart that if you were to die right now, that you'd have an eternity with the Lord, you can have that. The Bible says that those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Is there anyone here? I'd just love to pray with you. This is seriously the most important thing a person will ever do in their entire life. Is there anyone here you've never asked the Lord into your heart? Jesus to be your Savior. Is there anybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just really feel now, just as we close, I want to pray for some people. Actually, I'd like, honey, can you come up with me? Because I believe Christy was moving by a prophetic unction this morning, because I've normally got to stand behind her with a rifle to get her to speak in front of people. She doesn't. She's not the sort of person that's like, give me the microphone. She's like the last person that wants to be the center of attention on the stage. And so I believe that was a prophetic unction, that there's some people here and there's those questions in your mind that what you're facing is not going to change because of what you've done. And Christy and I as a couple would love to pray with you. I'm going to say a few things because I know that some of the things might be very, very, very personal. But it's so sad, but statistically, Christy is not the only one in this room that was abused as a child. And as she shared in churches, we've had women in their 60s come up and share how it happened to them and they've never been able to tell anyone. And they've lived in bondage for decades for something that wasn't even their fault. We're not going to ask you to identify yourself if you feel to. But I feel that this, and it mightn't be sexual abuse, it might have been physical abuse, it might have been verbal abuse, but there's some people here that you are carrying the scars of things that happened to you and you've been too ashamed to ever tell anybody about it. So whether it's just a breakthrough that you feel that you've made a mistake, and you know what, I'm just going to open the altar for anyone who wants prayer because I don't want anybody, I want you to feel confident that you can come forward without any embarrassment or people knowing what you're being prayed for. If you want to share with us what you want us to pray for you, fantastic. If you don't, that's all cool too. But I just really believe the Lord just wants to minister to some people. So can we just put some instrumental music on or something? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Honey, can you come out the front? Thanks, John. So is there anyone here you want prayer? If you don't, that's fine. Sometimes we've found the Holy Ghost just moves powerfully through the Word and people have been set free just by receiving it. But if you want prayer for any reason whatsoever, please make yourself available to that right now. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody? Just want prayer? Thank you, Lord.
One, two. Okay, so this is your once a year opportunity. You know, we go to great expense to bring in someone who's anointed and they have a word for us. When Christy shared that, you know, I know there are people here who will want to take advantage of what the Lord has said this morning. We don't just make this stuff up, you know. So could be a long altar call, but I encourage you just to allow the Lord to touch your heart by having Pete and Christy pray for you this morning. If that's you, don't go home without having had a touch from Jesus this morning, because he loves you, and we brought Pete and Christy in just for you. If you felt God tug your heart this morning, there was a tear rolling out of your eye this morning, that's because Jesus, yeah, keep the music going. That's because Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Don't you go home without having some prayer this morning. God bless you. We're going to dismiss the meeting. And, of course, there'll be a cup of tea and fellowship afterwards. And I would really encourage you to come tonight because there'll be more ministry. And just bring a pillow and just lie on the floor here. If you've never been to an encounter evening, just soak in the presence of God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you tonight.
You'd be surprised how much creativity can come just soaking. Our album up there on the Promises of Peace, the painting was done in one of your encounter services. He's not here, so I can say this, by a guy who can't paint. creativity can happen. Business ideas. Sometimes I just find when I'm looking for, how do I deal with this situation with this person? I soak in the presence of the Lord and I just know what to do. So we just come tonight and just bathe in His presence and see what happens.